The opinions expressed in Asian Wave are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. That being said, thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Have you ever heard of Asian Wave?
No. What is that?
What are the latest fashion trends in Japan?
You wouldn't believe what happened to New Jeans.
Oh, for some of it, I don't want to go
nothing. Can we go for some hapa right now?
From the catchy tunes of K-pop to the captivating worlds of anime, video games, and the delicious flavors of ramen and boba, East Asian culture has been making a huge impact on the world around us, but what's really behind these trends and how are they shaping our daily lives? Hi, I'm Annika.
I'm Beth.
I'm Ohana.
And I'm Neo.
And welcome back to Asian Wave! Where we explore the rise of Asian pop culture and its global influence. And today we'll be diving into how East Asia shaped modern gaming culture. From Pokemon cards to late night Genshin pools, from the DS screens we grew glued to the esports arenas people fill today, video games have shaped so many of our lives. And when you look at where most of this all came from, so much of gaming's biggest impact traces back to one place. East Asia. But before we dive into it, I'd like to introduce our very special guest today. So please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Fran. I'm very special and I'm a guest.
Hey! Hi, everyone. Welcome, Fran. So Fran, tell us about yourself, your background, ethnicity, thoughts on the program.
I'm very white. I'm in the program. I'm in media production for video game development.
Yes.
I play a lot of East Asian games.
Let's go. He's a gamer, guys. So before we talk about our topics, I want to go around first, kind of just asking our backgrounds when it comes to gaming. I actually want to talk about, like, you know, our first consoles, some of the games that kind of got us into what, you know, video games in the first place. But yeah, how about we start off with Fran? Since you're a special guest today.
Okay. So my first memories of games were my dad playing Ape Escape on PS2, which I believe Ape Escape is a Japanese game. And I mean, obviously, PlayStation 2 is also Sony, one of the biggest leaders in gaming. And then a lot of Mario, my first game that I own myself was Mario Galaxy.
Ooh, are you excited for the movie that's coming out soon?
A little bit. I don't know.
Movie adaptions and stuff like that when it comes to video games. But yeah, okay. What about you, Neo?
Well, I grew up with a lot of older cousins, always playing Call of Duty with each other. Actually, my very first console was the original Xbox that my cousin gave me and my brother. I remember because it made the creepiest idle noises because it literally sounded like I was being abducted by an alien. Woke up to many nightmares of the console being on and just random alien noises playing. And then also like just old Nintendo games like Pokemon. I was am still a really big Pokemon fan. And when I got my DSi, I remember I played a lot of Pokemon on that.
Definitely, for sure. Ohana?
So, I didn't have much of a gaming background from when I was younger because I had a very limited amount of screen time that I was allowed, about 20 minutes, so...
Oh, wow, a day.
My background was essentially me and my iPad playing creative mode on Minecraft. But when it comes to going over to other people's places, like my family and my cousins, they had a huge gaming obsession even up till now. So I always played like Super Smash Bros. With them. I have memories doing Nintendo Land during sleepovers. And yeah, I would always play Zelda during Super Smash Bros.
Oh my God.
I would just spam like the protective shield.
Oh my God. Yeah. What about you, Beth?
I'll say because I have an older brother. I remember, I think it's a guy that we bought like computer or like Wii from.
Yeah.
We kind of bought it like illegally, I guess.
Oh.
So that guy put like a hardware of like that you can play a specific games unlimited.
Yeah, like pirating.
Wow, you got a jailbroken
Wii. Like you
Wii.
Don't have to buy like a CD of the Wii games. But so we were allowed to play like Wii, but at the time me and my brother played a lot of like, I forgot the name of it, the Wii Island. It's like a board game, like a Monopoly, but that was really fun. But other Wii games, of course, like Wii Sports or Zelda, mm-hmm. especially Skyward Sword, I guess. That mm-hmm. one. I recently also played with my Nintendo Switch to kind of like throw back. Yeah. And me and my brother just finished it in like 1 month.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah. And Minecraft, obviously. Mm-hmm. I guess all the Koreans will relate.
Is Minecraft a huge thing in Korea?
It's very huge thing really? Still, really? I guess. It's still for like, we say like chuldings, like elementary students. Mm. Like those kids, yeah. I think they still play Minecraft, but I guess they don't play like legally. Because at the time, like me as well, in my like pad, I had to like search up like, authentic Minecraft mm-hmm. free downloads like that.
No, is it age restricted?
I did that. I feel like.
I think that's like international.
Yeah, because like when I was in middle school, during lunch, like all my friends would like go to the computer lab and like illegally download Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've probably bricked like 3 computers with viruses from trying to.
Oh my god! That was always like Minecraft Viper for me.
Yeah,
yeah, that was like.
Wait, guys, I was gonna bring up Roblox.
I was going to say the equivalent of our Roblox. Yeah.
I actually never played Roblox when I was a kid. I only started playing like recently.
Really?
Yeah. But I felt like Roblox was a lot different when we were growing up compared to what it is
now.
Think
yeah.
so.
Yeah. It's definitely more commercialized now for sure. Yeah.
There's also a lot of Nazis on there now.
There's people protests. Like Roblox protesting on Roblox. I remember Ohana and I were talking about it one time.
Brother plays Roblox like 24. He literally plays this one game where you just talk to strangers. And like, what are you doing?
It's always like the 20v1 game.
He's 22 years old. Oh, okay.
That's so funny. I think I also had like a very similar experience to you, Beth, like growing up with like an older brother. I feel like in a way, gaming has always been a part of my life. Like, you know, just going through the pipeline of, you know, having a Wii and then having a DSi, like on my Wii, like constantly just playing Super Smash Bros, Nintendo Wii Sports, and then on my DSi, like Clubhouse games and stuff like that. I think like growing up, most of my hours in games went into like the classic like shooters, you know, like Valorant, Overwatch, Marvel Rivals, Fortnite. And now it's more like now I want to get more into like RPGs. I'm wearing a Final Fantasy shirt right now, Final Fantasy VII.
I love it.
Thank you. It's actually my boyfriend's because he loves Final Fantasy. But I really have grown a love for the franchise and also just like other RPGs. Like I am a fan of like Resident Evil and I want to kind of grow my love for that even more. But yeah, that's kind of my relationship with gaming. Also just like a social aspect, just having like games to play online with your friends when you can't like see them in person, you know, because for us like video games is kind of just how we connect with one another. Well, yeah, did you guys ever have like, I know Ohana mentioned she kind of had like limited screen time. Did you guys ever go through that like growing up?
I feel like my mom would always try to limit our screen time, but like we just always would still play anyways. Mm-hmm. Like even now my mom still gets a bit annoyed when we play for hours and hours, but like yeah.
I think I probably should have had some kind of limit because I was literally just nonstop. To be fair, aside from the Wii, I went to my cousin's house a lot and my parents would just go outside and get high and then I would just play video games all night. And I would stay up till like 5 a.m. And then I didn't find out they were getting high till I was older, by the way. They weren't telling me.
You're just like, where are my parents at?
Yeah, I was always wondering though. I'm like, why are they letting me do this right now? Like, what's happening? I was just like drinking Coke till 5 a.m. as a 5-year-old. And playing Call of Duty. It's like, why? How could you let a child do this?
As that 5 years old, you were playing Call of Duty.
Yeah. And like that indoctrinated me, dude. Because for until like 12 years old, I was like, I'm going into the army. And
that's what it does to a man.
That's why they pay them. They pay the American military funds Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe violent video games do make guys more violent.
That is, I had no idea.
It makes them very open to
obedience,
like serving.
I feel like my style of gaming is a little bit different to a lot of the people in this group, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I feel like I do a lot of more cozy gaming, open world RPG, choose your own adventure things like Detroit Become Human, Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Definitely.
I still played it.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely like the narrative driven games.
Narrative driven because
I feel like I always want to play those more often. Like I play, what's the last one I played? I played the Star Wars Last Jedi games. I love those games. And I like the Spider-Man games are my favorite, but I love team-based first-person shooters.
Yeah, and I think, like, Neo and I, we play, like, the same games and stuff like that. Yeah. But definitely, like, the narrative-driven games, a lot of those, even if it's, like, developed and by Western companies, they draw a lot of influence from Asian games. You know, we have, like, the big names where a lot of games took their big influence from, like, Final Fantasy or, like, Resident Evil or even, like, the Souls games, which I know Fran is a big fan of.
I am, yes.
Do you want to explain a little bit of that?
So, basically, every big trend in gaming starts in East Asia, especially Japan, obviously. And then America, China, and Europe kind of are, like, a secondary market where they'll make their own version. And it may even be more popular, but it's almost always that, like, the most innovation comes from Japan. And, I mean, Nintendo, for all their faults, even though they're evil.
Why are the games so expensive? Like,
they refuse to put them on sale. And, but, I mean, literally every single game in every genre has something that Nintendo invented at some point. And, like, I mean, Zelda even inspired all the Souls games. Mario, every like, even to this day, Mario keeps innovating, and that's why they're on, like, their 70th iteration, and people are still eating it up.
Yeah.
And Mario. Then Pokemon doesn't innovate, but we like it anyways.
I mean, Japan is kind of, like, the forefront when it comes to all these consoles with Nintendo and then Sega and Sony. And, you know, with Nintendo, it's always just kind of, like, the family-friendly aspect of their games, you know, games that are intended for everyone. And then when it comes to, like, Sega, definitely games that are more targeted for teens at the time. And then Sony, just with their hardware and their kind of, like, very realistic, gritty graphics that kind of puts them at the forefront of most gaming consoles. But, yeah. Back to Souls, Fran, if you would like to continue with the Souls game in the franchise.
Yeah, so Souls has an interesting history. And I mean, all the fans know about it because we're all super obsessed. But in the beginning, they made Demon's Souls by complete fluke because they had this project and it just wasn't working out very well. And they just handed it off to Miyazaki, who's the director of all the Souls games except for Dark Souls 2. And he made it into what he wanted to play. And in Japan, it actually had a really terrible release. Nobody played it. Nobody liked it. But America and the West was so starved for challenge in their games, because companies were just so reluctant to approach challenge in any capacity, because they're like, well, if everyone can't play it, then, like, what are we going to do? You know, it's not going to sell well. Even, like, Mortal Kombat, it's like you can just, like, button mash. Even, like, the mature titles intended for older people, it's just, like, button mashing and, like, whatever, everyone can play. But this game did so well in the West that he got greenlit for Dark Souls. And they defined RPGs from there. I mean, it came out alongside Skyrim, and they had, like, pretty even... I mean, people like Dark Souls a little more, I would say, but yeah, I mean, it like kind of paved a whole new genre, and until Elden Ring, when it got really, really popular, it didn't really have a lot of copycats, but when Elden Ring came out, I mean, the past 3 years have been nothing but Souls games.
Yeah. And can you explain, like, the Souls games for the people that don't know? And also, like, what kind of distinguishes the Souls games from other RPGs as well?
So it's like a very from like a development standpoint, I would say it's really putting the focus of gameplay on the enemy and not the player. And so every enemy has, like, a personality in the way they engage with the player. So, you know, one enemy will have, like, a whole move set, and that'll be, like, iconic, like, defining of them. And, you know, a character can have, like, two lines, but they're forever an icon for the fans because of whatever move they did that demolished you 30 times in a row. Yeah, like, it's just this really special approach to gameplay where it's like, we are going to put all of the agency in the player's hands. Nothing changes really about how you play, but the enemies will change, and you kind of like have to learn for yourself and master the game yourself.
Anyways, so I want to ask you guys, do any of you guys like follow esports or anything? Are any of you guys like knowledgeable in esports?
The only thing I'm knowledgeable about esports as a Korean is Faker.
T1 forever.
T1.
Yeah. Esports is the only sports that I watch, not gonna lie. Really?
Me too.
I have a lot of friends that are into it though. Mm-hmm. Like with Tens and teams.
Like VCT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for like Counter-Strike as well.
Counter-Strike has probably the biggest like esports community.
Either that or League of Legends.
Yeah. Definitely. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of League of Legends, so although like Riot Games is a Western developed company, League of Legends is probably the biggest game in Asia when it comes to like competitive play.
But especially in Korea, it's like the most popular in like PC-bangs and everything.
It's still like one of the most popular streaming games. I think Twitch basically only exists because of it.
Of League of Legends.
League of Legends almost consistently has the highest view count of any game.
A lot of the first streamers that I ever started watching were League of Legends streamers. Lily Pichu is a streamer that I hold very dear to my heart till this day. I love Lily Pichu,
and she's in Genshin now.
She's in Genshin.
I love her.
We love her. Her acting, voice acting career, amazing. Anyways, not even in Korea, but just in like all over Asia, guys. Like even in the Philippines, League of Legends is huge. It's so huge. But anyways, countries like South Korea and China have kind of helped the game turn into something that's kind of just like a hobby into a professional spectator sport. I don't know if you guys know what Worlds is. That is the championship, the tournament for League, and it's one of the biggest esports championships till this day. And the whole esports scene is definitely dominated by Asian teams. Like,
there's like a meme where it's like it was like a math competition, and like China like always wins, and they're like, "Oh, America finally beat China," but the American team is all Chinese guys.
That's what esports is.
Like, even if like Western teams win, they usually always have Asian players on their team.
Yeah, whatever you think you're good at, there's an Asian out there that's better at it.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I love pixelated art styles.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stardew Valley. But it's not East Asian. But this conversation had me thinking a lot about like Korean gaming culture, even here in the West.
Yeah.
I think that's also part of the reason why League of Legends has been so maintained as like the highest played video game there. Because we have like PC-bangs, which are PC internet cafes, basically. But now sometimes they even have like AI boyfriend ones.
I remember I used to go PC bang every time I go back to Korea. And it's like, and my purpose was just to go and get a snack. Because it's like the best place to get so many kinds of snacks. Because like usually those kind of snacks that like, you have to make it at home, or either you have to go to like a market and just eat on the street. But you just sit there, comfy chair, nice screen, and you just get a ramen or just like tteokguchi, tteokbokki.
I don't know if this is true, but when I searched it up, it said that sometimes you can rent them out, like a space, like a PC there, for maybe one USD to five USD.
Really?
For how long?
Yeah. Every hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like room type of like that you can have. There's like a manhwa bang as well, which is manhwa. It's like the manga that you just read. All the mangas, and also what else, like there's a lot of bang style because like it's such a busy city, so it's like people don't have their own personal space. That's why people pay for it, and then to find those kind of like small private room with your friends or you're by yourself to spend time. I think that's how that kind of like bang, which is like bang means a room, like that, like a private room culture has developed in Korea. I think PC Bang were started from like 1990s.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God. That's how like Korean people were obsessed with those like games.
Why do you guys think there is such a culture behind gaming in Asia specifically?
I think, well, apart from it being like the, you know, large gaming market there and like the industry, in terms of the culture, I think a lot of East Asian countries like Korea, Japan, China, like what Fran mentioned, those third spaces provide an opportunity for community and hobby, especially when school and like the education system is such a tough thing, even going into adulthood with work. It's just such a, what I refer to as like a late stage capitalism effect, where they're just constantly on the grind, essentially.
And so this is their coping mechanism.
Yeah, this is their coping mechanism or their chance to essentially escape.
And I think there's also some amount of like, Asia found a way to move forward with this new medium that America kind of didn't, because they're so individualist in the West that it's like, there wasn't any even want, like, we only really started talking about third spaces recently. Like, people weren't really aware of like their social culture in the same way that I feel like they are in Asia, and more like open, willing to develop these new social spaces.
Very interesting. Anyways, so I know Neo was talking about Overwatch a lot. Do you want to go more in depth?
So for those who don't know, Overwatch is a game released by Blizzard Entertainment in 2016. It has gone through a lot of changes over the years. Recently in 2022, they rebranded to Overwatch 2, which was a sequel to the game, but it was still Overwatch. And now they rebranded to just being Overwatch again, but with the Overwatch 2 formatting. But they have a lot of they have a cast of over 50 characters now, I think. And a lot of them are Asian, which is, I think a lot of, they are praised for the diversity, but also they have been releasing a lot of Asian and specifically East Asian characters a lot recently.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has a lot to do with them being a free-to-play game and now them having to be able to monetize on selling skins. Recently, there was a character who came out called Anran. She's of Chinese descent, and she's the older sister of a support character in the game, Wu Yang. And when she was first revealed in Wu Yang's comic, she had a very different face than what she has now. She was she had sharper features. She looked like a rougher, like an older sibling to Wu Yang. And when she came out in the game, her character model was completely different. She had round eyes. She had a rounder face. All her sharp features were gone. She basically looked like every other Asian character in the Asian female character in the game. There was a TikTok that was going around, and it was them changing Anran's hair and features to other Asian females in the game, like D.Va and Kiriko. And it definitely, Overwatch has fallen into a same face syndrome kind of with their female Asian characters. They all have round eyes, very round faces, and are like very cute and girly. And I feel like that is really feeding into that, what was I going to say?
Like the that, kind like, of stereotype the
of Asian girls being cute and feminine and docile. But they also do it because a lot of girls and gay men play Overwatch, and they are
cute. One of them.
Yeah. We're the demographic.
We're the demographic.
But they, a lot of like their skins are for the cute. Yeah, like people are more inclined to buy skins
because they
for
feel
cute
represented.
Characters.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It's something that Lee has to do with the mainstream of mainstreamification of Asians. It's a real thing. Just the rising popularity of our culture. I mean, that's why we have this podcast, right? So that wraps up our episode on how East Asia has shaped the gaming landscape. From the Nintendo games we grew up with to the esports scenes people obsessed with over today, it's clear that Asian influence is at the heart of so much gaming culture.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how much of our childhood was built on games made in Japan, Korea, and China without us realizing it.
And now we can see how much creativity and cultural impacts came from Asia, from Japanese RPGs to arcades and PC bangs.
And the cool thing is, even today, the biggest games in the world still come from Asia. It's not slowing down anytime soon.
Fran, do you have any final thoughts about what gaming, specifically Asian gaming, means to you?
It means a lot for my career now, all my influence, and for art, for the world.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Fran.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for everyone for joining us on this episode of Asian Wave. There's so much to talk about on this topic, and we'll discuss more soon, hopefully.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Asian Wave Pod. And thank you for tuning in. Till next time, stay curious, stay connected, and keep riding a wave of Asian culture.
Bye-bye.